Good morning, brothers and sisters. That is indeed the position that we are in as we come to these exhortations and confess our sins. Sometimes these exhortations can hurt, and that's okay, because we are not standing at the foot of Mount Sinai with all of its shaking thunder and fire. We have come to the Church of the Living God and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and his blood cleanses us of all these sins. So that's where we come. We come as those that are no longer under condemnation. So remember that as we take the Word of God and it pierces us and corrects us as well. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13 this morning again, verses 4 through 7. And we're looking at one of the phrases here. Let's read that now. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is God's word. So this morning we look at the phrase at the end of, near the end of verse 5, where it says, love is not provoked. Some of the other translations will tell you love is not irritable or love is not easily angered. They all give you the same basic sense that if we are walking in love, we are not going to be those that are so easily given to anger, to frustration, to these quick, hasty, sinful responses when things do not go the way that we want them to go. And there are a few passages in Scripture that identify a kind of righteous anger that is not sinful. But the vast majority of the time, what we are dealing with is that kind of anger that the Word of God forbids. And that will be my focus, particularly with the way that Paul brings this out in 1 Corinthians 13. We have numerous warnings in the Word of God about the danger of anger, the sinfulness of anger. Jesus' words in Matthew 5, where he says that you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Paul in Galatians 5 tells us what the works of the flesh consist in. He says that the works of the flesh are evident, and he lists a number of things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. And notice he doesn't make any of these better or worse than the other. Outbursts of wrath is listed along with sorcery. These are serious matters, brothers and sisters, that we must repent of. Being irritable or easily angered is a common condition among fallen mankind, but that's what Jesus came to save us from. It is unloving to be easily angered with one another. It is a violation of God's holy law, and he has called us to be holy as well. Now, I want to point out two key drivers that can be driving our sinful anger very, very commonly. And in looking at these two drivers of anger, we are going to hopefully identify the condition of our heart and why this sometimes happens. The two drivers that I want to point out is first pride, and then secondly selfishness. And we've talked about both in this list about love, actually. We've talked about love is not proud, love is not puffed up. We've talked about love does not seek its own. But in fact, indeed, these two things drive much of our irritability, much of our sinful anger. Listen to what Jonathan Edwards says about pride as a driver of anger. He says, pride is one chief cause of undue anger. It is because men are proud and exalt themselves in their own hearts that they are vengeful. And they are apt to be excited and to make great things out of little ones that may be against themselves. Yea, they even treat as vices things that are in themselves virtues when they think their honor is touched or when their will is crossed. So notice what Edwards says, that it is our pride that we respond so quickly in frustration and in anger because our will is crossed. We are offended in some way, and indeed, sometimes we are sinned against. But that does not give us the right to respond in anger. And if you've ever sensed that you're getting angry, and if you look back on those episodes, think about what was it that I was trying to defend? Why was I angry at that point? Was it driven by my pride? Often the answer is yes. But if we try to defend our pride in that moment rather than to attack it, we're doing the wrong thing. It may be that somebody comes against you and they may sin against you, or maybe they just attack your pride in some way and you become angry. But you should not be defending your pride. You should be outside the walls of that fortress of pride, lobbing cannonballs at it as well. That's what other people sometimes do. God, in fact, uses our brothers and sisters to hammer away at our pride. And that's a good thing. We want those walls to come down. And we ought not to be defending them ourselves. And so we may become provoked with our family members, with our spouse, with our children, when they wrong us in some way. But why are we angry? What is driving us at that point? If you're thinking proudly, then the wrongdoing committed against you is the big thing. That is the big problem, and it's driving your anger and your frustration. But if in humility you recognize your own weakness, your own failures, if those are bigger, then you're not going to get so angry. You're not going to become irritable in that situation. Secondly, selfishness is also a driver of pride, of a sinful anger. Jonathan Edwards says again, "If men did not chiefly seek their own interests, their own selfish interests, but they sought the glory of God and the common good, then their spirit would be a great deal more stirred up in God's cause than in their own. And they would not be prone to hasty, inconsiderate, immoderate, and long-continued wrath with any who might have injured or provoked them. But they would in a great measure forget themselves for God's sake, and from their zeal for the honor of Christ, the end they would aim at would not be making themselves great or getting their own will, but the glory of God and the good of their fellow beings." There's some good insights there. He says that when we're seeking our own interests, when anybody crosses our will, we become angry. We want to be in control. We want things done the way we want them done. We want it done now and in our own way. But if the glory of God, if the honor of Christ is supreme, then that is our chief concern. And that will drive not anger, not a provoked spirit, but peace and love for others. James 4 tells us, he asks the question, where do these wars and fights come from among you? Why are you getting angry? He says, "Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have." You're seeking something and you're not getting it. That's why you're fighting. "You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war." So often we are selfishly seeking our own in these conversations we may have where we become irritable. In a conversation, you want to be right. You become angry because the other person will not admit it. They will not admit that you are right. And that's your concern. Not the glory of God. Not what God is doing in this situation, but to be right. You're seeking your own. Or perhaps it's in decision making. You want somebody to agree with your decision, to think it's the best decision, but they won't agree. And so you become angry until they agree that your way is the best way. This can happen in parenting. We become angry at our children because they're not obeying us. And your loss of control frustrates you. You're not in control. Things are not going as you want them to go. And rather than gently and lovingly correcting them, you become angry because you must have it now. You must have obedience now. But if in that situation, the glory of God, the upholding of his law in your home was supreme, how would you respond? Instead, you would walk lovingly and gently to correct that child, because you yourself will keep God's law. That's the chief concern, is the honor of God. And so if your children are disobeying God's law, that doesn't mean you can disobey God's law and become angry. You want to walk in righteousness and show them the right way, which is gentleness. So when it comes to our anger, brothers and sisters, we must not make excuses for these things. And the question that God asked Jonah in Jonah chapter 4 is always such a good question to ask yourselves. Do you do well to be angry? So often just asking the question answers the question, doesn't it? The second it is asked, we say, no, I don't do well to be angry in this moment. This isn't right. This isn't the right response. This isn't gentleness. This isn't peace. This isn't love. This is the wrong way to go. And as the scriptures tell us, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You will not produce righteousness in your home through your wrath. You will not produce righteousness in your relationships by becoming angry. It does not produce the righteousness of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us humbly repent of our irritability, any anger, any outbursts of wrath. Let's bring these sins to the throne of grace and find cleansing through the blood of Christ. And I remind you that the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is sufficient to save us from these things. He is able to save us to the uttermost, those who draw near to God by faith. Hebrews 10 tells us, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's come with that conviction. Let's come with boldness to this throne of grace now and receive that cleansing forgiveness of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, merciful God, we come before you now humbled by your word. We're constantly humbled because we see our own sinfulness more clearly by this great standard of love. We confess that instead of self-control, we are at times guilty of irritation, of anger, of outbursts of wrath. And these things are grievous in your sight. We confess that instead of walking in love, we've sought our own interests. Because of our pride, we've tried to protect these things, and we've become angry. We ask that you would forgive us of these sins, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. We ask that as your people, we would abound in love, that we would manifest the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, gentleness, patience, rather than being easily provoked. We want to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ, who always walked with this kind of peacefulness. And now we each take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.